This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Glad to be here with you on Sports Daily. It is one day away from the official start of the NCAA tournament, even though we had tournament games last night, including one essentially buzzer beater, and one that was about as far away from that as you could possibly be. The Shockers opened the NIT last night with a loss, and Oklahoma State, unfortunately, gave it a pretty good run, but we'll dig into that game and what went wrong and what it means and probably do some overall season evaluating, program evaluating today as well. As we make our way through, we'll get you ready for the KU opener tomorrow. Our KU insider, Shri Eslada, joins us as well in the next hour. A lot of good stuff on the eve of getting out, hopefully, to Intrust Bank Arena and doing the show live at the end of the week, Thursday and Friday. So glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock alongside Tommy Caster. Max Power is producing things for us. He's got the KFH hotline at 869-1240. We've got the ability for you to chat with us on our video streams as well. 12 News Plus, Facebook, YouTube, X, anyway you're watching, you can get in touch with us. And if you're listening on the Odyssey app, you can leave us your voice messages. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I feel a little windblown this morning, walking in from the car into the studios here and leaving home. I spent a little bit of time this morning, like, trying to do my hair and, you know, all of that. And then I walk outside and it, you know, goes everywhere. So that's kind of the day today. Gotta keep a hold of your hats, and it's going to be breezy out there for sure.
Yeah, at least the wind dies by tournament day tomorrow. It'll be chilly in the morning when we're out there. I was joking with our program director when we were kind of just talking yesterday about the cold, and I said, I hope Tommy's ready to cuddle out there. I don't know what else to do. Just snuggle up. It's going to be chilly out there live at Intrust Bank Arena in the morning.
Just got to bundle up. I mean, wear the coat, wear the gloves, wear the hat. That's my plan.
Yeah, we'll probably be acclimated. Chill. It was only 80 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, it'll be okay.
You know, down to 30. But yeah, we'll survive it. It's going to be fun. It was not fun to see the outcome last night, unfortunately, for the Shockers as they go down to Oklahoma State, 89-79. We'll get into that. I do want to look, as you know, we evaluate things 2 years into the Paul Mills era. What do we think? What, you know, kind of a vibe check and then a, you know, numbers check of what that looks like historically. So we'll get into all of that. There's, you know, NFL news always. You heard Aaron Rodgers there in the NFL update briefly, still doesn't have a home. And I think the players are kind of sick of it, to be quite honest with you. So we can touch on that. We've got Major League Baseball out in Japan. Shohei Ohtani home run for the Dodgers in front of the home crowd. Kind of a cool moment. And then a coaching change that has everybody talking as West Virginia is now in the look for a new coach, Darian DeVries, after just 1 year, right, at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Heads on to Indiana. 1 year. I'm waiting for our haters of the transfer portal and athletes to chime in on Darian DeVries leaving West Virginia after just 1 year. I saw Jay Billis joke yesterday, and it's so right. The coaching portal is always open, right? Like it never closes. And it's so true. And it's so funny to me that, well, you know, a lot of people wring their hands at players leaving places when coaches literally leave all the time, like in the middle of seasons or before seasons. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's fine that they want to leave. They have contracts and they buy those out. But I think the only answer is to put everybody under contract and just, you know, if coaches leave schools and they have big buyouts, maybe players leave schools early. They need to have buyouts. I mean, to me, that's the way to go. That's the simple way to go. But West Virginia, great program, looking for another coach.
I don't think there's been anybody that has had a worse week than the athletic director at West Virginia.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, with the snub into the NCAA tournament, when I think everybody and their dog in the country thought that they should have made it in to the NCAA tournament, and then they didn't. And then just a couple of days later, Darian DeVries bails to go to Indiana. It's been a tough week for him, for sure. But I think that it's a good move for Indiana. I think Darian DeVries is a stud of a coach. I didn't like the Mike Woodson hire at the time because I felt like, you know,
yeah,
college basketball is getting, you know, younger and they're finding, you know, new ways to get things done. Kind of going to a retread and Mike Woodson, I didn't feel like worked or would fit. I thought maybe temporarily it'd be okay as a bridge type guy, but I wasn't a fan of it long term. I really like this hire for Indiana. I think that DeVries can be there for a long time. I think he can win it a lot. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets Indiana back to national relevance.
I wouldn't either. We've been saying that for a really long time with Indiana, though. And they've made some hires that we all thought would get it done. It's one of the great mysteries to me. I don't know how it has taken this long. In that time, they continue to bring in great players. It doesn't work. DeVries is a great coach. We looked back and, you know, he was a candidate at Wichita State. I don't know how much of a candidate was as he was. People liked him.
People wanted him. I'm not sure how much he was a real candidate.
But this is what I said to you last night. Looking at it now, had he come here and had some success, he'd have just been gone. I mean, he left West Virginia after a year. He wasn't staying in Wichita. So, you know, things happen for a reason, and the Shockers season ends on that same night. And so we'll evaluate that. We'll look at the game against Oklahoma State for sure. But then, you know, we'll take a look. I don't know. I think for sure, and we'll save it. We'll save it. But I think it's an interesting conversation to evaluate the Shockers season, program, and future. And the time is right to do it because their season ended. We know now they're not going to get a surprise invite to any tournaments or anything. We know it ended last night in Stillwater. Looking forward to talking to Shreyas Lada today. Get his take on KU. I don't think he agrees completely that it's a good draw. It's a good draw for KU, at least according to his article yesterday. So we'll get him to explain what he means in that as far as a luck. I think he called it lucky draw, I believe is a term he used. Don't want to put words in his mouth, but we'll get into that. Because, of course, I've told you anyway, I don't want to speak for Tommy. I think it's a near perfect draw, all things considered, for KU in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. And we get ready for Wichita. Wichita's ready to host games. I think, you know, we got weather, the good weather. I mean, today's weather will be gone. So it's all there in front of us for Wichita to put on another great party. I think Wichita will put on another great party. I think the timing of the KU game, the placement, the day of the KU game will make for a pretty fun atmosphere. And we'll be out there ready to hang with people starting tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, morning. And I feel like, of course, it's going to be chilly tomorrow morning for our show, but at least it warms up the rest of the weekend, and it'll be really, really nice, it looks like, for the remainder. So we just got to get through a few hours of, you know, cold morning weather on Thursday, and then it looks like it's just going to be beautiful, yeah, with warm temperatures and light wind and just a perfect, you know, inviting atmosphere for fans from all the teams to come out and descend upon Interest Bank Arena. We'll be at Nafsker Park on the north side of the arena for Fan Fest. A big thanks to Parks and Rec with the city of Wichita for having us out at the big Fan Fest. Shout out to Taco Bell and Pizza Hut. They are making it possible for us to be out there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to being out there starting tomorrow.
29 degrees in the morning when we'll be out there with a nice little breeze. But then it gets up to, looks like, the upper 50s, maybe peaking at about 60. Breeze will pick up a little bit, but it'll be sunny. So wear a jacket. It's pretty normal March weather, I think. Maybe a little bit under. And then Saturday looks incredible.
Looks really good, too. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be fun. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Shockers when we return on Sports Daily.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you. Here's a giveaway for you. You've seen Tommy sporting some pretty cool clothes on Fridays from 35 by 70 Golf Co. For a couple months now, we're giving away your opportunity to get your hands on some of that gear. $120 gift card to be awarded to one lucky listener this week. You can enter once per day until Friday at 11 a.m., right when we go off the air there at Intrust Bank Arena. To enter, all you got to do is text the keyword GOLF to the short code 20357. That's GOLF to 20357. Message and data rates apply. You can go to kfhradio.com. for more details. So good luck, everybody, with that contest. We'll have a little bit of HTO a little bit later for you, too. Tommy, we're coming out of a Shocker loss, which is too bad. I thought they had enough to beat Oklahoma State, certainly. Didn't get it done. It was, to me, it was a pretty clear separation between the starters and the bench. They could not get anything from the bench last night. The bench was really, really bad. And while the starters played well enough to win that game, every time you'd get the second string in, it felt like the Shockers just fell apart a little bit.
Yeah, that was really a challenge because I know that Paul Mills was wanting to balance a little bit of a breather for, you know, the starters. And then at the same time, you know, still be productive, at least to a degree, with some of those bench guys. And they just weren't able to perform. There was a clear drop off, to your point, between the starters and the bench players. You know, specifically Mate Bosniak did not have a good game. Justin Hill did not have a good game. You know, that was a challenge, you know, for those guys. And I think it really ended up forcing Mills's hand. And, you know, the guys like Xavier Bell and Corey Washington, even Bijan Cortez, I don't feel like they were really able to get, you know, appropriate breathers just because they had to be in the game and they had to perform because the bench wasn't getting it done.
Yeah, it's too bad. It really is. Because you had so much momentum, right, going into it. And they couldn't do anything in those minutes. And it felt like they executed, the starters did, I thought, really well. You know, early in the game, there were no fouls being called. And when I saw that, I was like, this is going to be a problem. You saw Bryce Thompson give them the PJ Haggerty effect, which is, you know, that's
really
not
good.
Like that just can happen against really the Shockers, good. Right? Like they are prone to that a little bit. And then you didn't see fouls being called. And I was like, well, they're not going to be able to match offense if they can't get to the free throw line. They're just not, especially not on the road. Well, then they started getting some whistles and I was like, okay, now they're good. They settled in. And I thought the announcers were spot on it. Like they were clearly going into where they're comfortable, which is attacking the basket and trying to draw contact and get to the line. And they were doing a really good job of it too. Like really good job of it. And then they just couldn't, like they'd get in there and they would, and you'd have the starters go off and you had defensive lapses and you had turnovers. Oklahoma State would just trap the ball every time across the floor with Hill and it just didn't work and they didn't have enough. So I don't know, you know, I thought the effort was fine. I don't have a problem that Wichita State went on the road and lost to Oklahoma State. it's unfortunate because at least I did. I don't want to speak for anybody else. I felt like that was a game the Shockers could have won. They just didn't get it done. And it, you know, it's too bad.
Yeah, I think there were a few other things, too. I mean, I didn't love the defensive strategy, you know, specifically in the first half against Bryce Thompson. I felt like Wichita State kind of let him shoot those mid-range jumpers, which for a lot of players, that's a low percentage shot, but it wasn't for Bryce Thompson last night. And so at some point, they needed to adjust to that. I think, honestly, a little bit sooner. And they really weren't able to do that. And I know that a lot of times, yeah, you're going to live with that kind of shot from a player taking that, but Bryce Thompson was hot, you know, at least in the first half he was. And I really felt like Wichita State kind of gave him that. And it was a situation where at some point you're looking at it and you're like, man, he's not missing from that distance. So we need to probably adjust what we're doing to make it a little bit tougher on him. I don't feel like that happened quick enough in the game.
I think that's fair.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's fair. And I think it's fair because we've seen that issue in other games. Right. We saw it against Tulsa, a lack of a defensive adjustment. We saw it like really their three most recent games. They had the win in between there, but their three most recent losses, it was kind of a challenge in all of them is making a defensive adjustment. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, because Tulsa, it was that stretch when they were getting to the rim on like 10 straight possessions and there was really no adjustment. With Memphis and the loss in the AAC tournament, it was PJ Haggerty going crazy in there. And I think that was a combination of, you know, not a defensive adjustment, but then also Haggerty was just really, really, really good. And it was, you know, hard to just individually shut him down. But Bryce Thompson had a formula for the most part on what he wanted to do when he went down the court, and that was shoot mid-range jumpers, and the Shockers really didn't adjust to that the way that they should have. I was also really concerned going into the game, I talked about it yesterday, about Wichita State getting too sped up to try to keep up with Oklahoma State and the tempo that they like to play with. And I thought, you know what, if they can take care of the basketball and still play fast and keep up with Oklahoma State, that's great. But as soon as they start getting careless with the basketball, that's when things are going to become an issue. And the turnovers were a major issue against Memphis. They were an issue last night as well. And there were several possessions where I felt like they got sped up and they got a little bit faster than I think they wanted to and got a little bit sloppy with the basketball. So those were a couple of other things that I felt like were key to the recipe for Oklahoma State to get the win.
I agree, and it's too bad because I really grew into this Shockers team and really liked them. Now what happens in the future, it just smacks you in the face. Paul Mills joked after the game, you know, that his friends are going to call him Portal Paul, and that's what you have to do. There's a lot of pressure next year now because I think that when we look at this season as a whole, it didn't feel, I don't think, disappointing in the sense of like the vibe we had going into yesterday and even this morning. The overall body of work at 19-15 and 8-10 in that league is disappointing. Absolutely is disappointing. It felt a whole lot better though by the end because we know they started to play the way they were capable of playing. And so that helped.
And but just at a straight baseline improvement year over year from a wins and losses perspective, there was improvement. Like it wasn't a lot of improvement. And I think that expectation wise on what everyone thought they would, you know, get to this year, I think most people thought there would be a more significant improvement. But to be fair, wins and losses wise, there was a year over year improvement from year one to year two.
No question. I think there was an improvement of just take that part away and say the team was better, right? The program feels like it's in better shape. I do think there was improvement there as well. I'm encouraged by those things. They have a lot of work to do right now. Can they get another year from Ballard somehow magically?
Well, they
not
can.
Only do you have to
like he'll be, but will he return to Wichita State? That's the question.
Exactly.
He's eligible, but will he come back to Wichita State? Right.
Can they get another year out of Quincy Ballard? I think is a big question. Can they get Corey Washington to return? Right. And then can they find three other players to fit around them? I mean, maybe Zion Pipkin and TJ Williams can take a step as sophomores if they stick around. I mean, you've got to still get through your own internal turnover before you can really go into next year. that's a big question mark, right? Like it's in rough shape. And as I watched last night, Jerron Pierre tear it up in another NIT game and was like the fourth leading scorer in basketball this year. Wichita State has had a lot of really good players walk out the door. IB, for whatever you want to say, was a talent evaluator and got some really good players into Wichita. Paul Mills has to do the same thing. Has to do the same thing. And then, of course, coach them up when they get here. The task has never been harder for a coach. I get all of that. I also want to say, because Kevin Saul was here last week and the Shocker basketball program put out, you know, 34 wins, which is the number it stuck at, unfortunately, more than, you know, any coach since the 60s in their first 2 years. But I don't think it's fair to not point out that Isaac Brown had a higher winning percentage. Remember, he had two really shortened seasons, 22 games and 28, where Mills had 34 each way. But it was a better start than Greg Marshall had, a better start than Mark Turgeon had. I would tell you that it's not a better start than Eddie Fogler had in the 80s. Fogler, who reached the tournament in his first 2 years and played a far smaller number of games in his first 2 years. I believe he played 33 and 30, so he played about 10 or so fewer games, but he had a really high winning percentage. They didn't play as many games back in the day, so it's not quite fair. Same thing for Gene Smithson. To say most wins, because I think winning percentage is more fair. We'll put it that
there's,
way.
There's a little bit of context, I think, than just the straight up win number. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't take away from Paul Mills. And I go back to year number two. I go back to this season that we just wrapped up when things were down bad. And it was, you know, it was tough. And there were a lot of questions like, what are they going to do? Like, this is not working. And credit Paul Mills, credit the players for sure, but credit Paul Mills for sticking with it, because they turned it around against some of the best opponents in the conference to be able to really pull their season out of the depths and get to a point to where they finished with the winning record. They finished, you know, I hate the fact that they lost to Tulsa on senior day, because that would have pulled them all the way to 500 in conference play. And that would have been, you know, just the cherry on top of the way that they started versus the way that they finished. But, you know, still 8-10 in conference after starting 1-7. You know, that I think you can hang your hat on that a little bit as a period of growth. Yeah. Getting a win in the AAC tournament, getting a postseason bid, regardless of the way that it all went down, you still got an NIT bid. You know, so there are things I think that you can tip your cap to a little bit. But as far as the future is concerned, I mean, you kind of laid it out. Ideally, the most by far ideal outcome and situation for Wichita State would be if you can return Quincy Ballard and Corey Washington. If you can get your front court to return and have another year in the system, another year in the program, then you can build around them and your front court is settled and good to go. I mean, Corey Washington played great down the stretch. Quincy Ballard, for the most part, has been steady Eddie throughout the course of the season. That's going to give the Shockers quite a bit of a leg up. And then, to your point, Paul Mills can dial in to the backcourt. You've got your front court settled. Dial into the backcourt and figure out a way where you can get guys that are great ball handlers that are not going to turn the ball over, guys that are going to be able to make shots at a clip to where maybe you weren't able to get that done last season, and play great defense. I mean, obviously that's ideal, but if you can get your front court settled, then you can pour all your resources in finding the backcourt guys you need.
Finding shot makers has been Wichita State's problem for what? 5-6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
They had one. They've had them. They just weren't doing it at Wichita State. We've seen guys leave the program and go do it elsewhere. So it's a big challenge. And I got to tell you too, like there are, I don't know, about 200 teams that would be interested in the services of Quincy Ballard and probably Corey Washington, the way they played this year. This is where we see the strength of the program, I think, too. Is the program in a good enough place to retain players of that stature? We're about to find out, because people are going to come knocking.
And that's, for those two dudes. By the way, that's the part of the transfer portal that isn't talked about. It's about going and acquiring players. That's really always been the focus. It's less about the retention of your current
Which the
players.
Shockers did good at last year.
And you know who the absolute king is of that right now is Kelvin Sampson. And what he does at Houston as far as retaining his players and keeping guys around, like, he's the top of the class, the cream of the crop in the country as far as building that program. In fact, he's done such a good job at that even Jerome Tang has pointed at Kelvin Sampson as the guy that he wants to emulate as far as retention and building a program and not just going and getting a brand new roster every single year. And so, you know, can Wichita State be Houston in that regard this season? No, probably not. But at the same time, that's an underrated and extremely important piece of the transfer portal. Not just about acquiring players, it's about retaining the guys that you want to bring back and that you need to be a nucleus of your team for, you know, another season and to build that continuity.
Yeah, and look, you hope you can keep the young players too, right? You hope that they'll grow in your program and become long-term players in the program, but I don't think Paul Mills has the luxury of focusing on that right now because they did not have a good enough year this year to build in the grace period for next year. And so as we evaluate this year, that's what makes it really difficult. Look, eighth in the conference is not good enough following 10th in the conference. Bottom line, this league is not good enough for Wichita State to finish 10th and 8th in back-to-back years. Holistically, from a faraway level looking at it. This year has been so unique, though, because I think the program right this second, I think that the buzz and the energy for Shocker basketball is higher than what was inherited. So I want to say that. I also think we got to see some real coaching chops this year in how Wichita State started the year with a style of basketball that served them well, and then things fell apart, and they were able to stop and pivot the things that they do and the way that they play to find success again and have the players stay bought in and all those things. I think that stuff matters quite a bit, actually. And so that gives me a lot of hope, too. Those are the things that I'm sort of looking at and hopeful for, not so much the wins and losses, because the wins and losses flat are not good enough. They're not. We were told they weren't because Isaac Brown was fired, finishing in a better position in the league. So that part of it we know, but you got to look underneath that, I think, to really take the true evaluation of where things stand moving forward, because I don't think there's anybody that doesn't feel moderately optimistic about things, at least that I haven't, that I've talked to, that based on the way they were able to sort of refocus this year. But now you have to rebuild the roster.
Yeah,
and honestly, I don't know what that looks like.
A response to what you just said, I think that the truth can really lie somewhere in the middle. You know, I don't think that it's all the way to one side where it's, you know, we've seen enough to where, you know, Paul Mills is the savior of the program in the long term, like it's going to be incredible forever and back to the expectations that Shocker fans are used to. I don't think we know enough, even after 2 years, to be able to say that. You know, and knowing that, like, that I think that there's a little bit of energy, you know, moving that direction, which is good. But at the same time, like, you hear, like, Paul Mills has the third highest winning percentage in his first 2 years or whatever. Like, that paints a really beautiful picture when the
most wins, not highest winning percentage.
Most wins through the first 2 years. Like, that paints a really beautiful picture, but there's context around that. So it's not like total gospel. On the flip side, I don't think it is all that bad either, where it's like, well, IB had a better, you know, had a better first 2 years and finished better in the conference than Paul Mills did. So this is a disaster either. Like, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle between the two, like, beautiful, yeah, rosy picture being painted and everything is falling apart and terrible and we can't do this anymore. Like, that's what makes it so difficult to evaluate after two seasons is that, yeah, there's been incremental improvement from year one to year two. They're still not where the expectations I think everybody has for them. They're not meeting that at this point. It makes it really hard to assess overall, but I do think that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. It's not all bad, but it's certainly not all good yet either, and I think the jury is still overall out.
And it's hard also to evaluate Mills Brown versus their predecessors because they've now had to deal with the modern era of college, sure, basketball that none of those other guys did either. So bottom line, we don't know yet. And we go into year three, with retention being the most important front and center thing, to see if you can keep those two good bigs and see what else you can get around it. How are your allergies treating you, Tommy? Do you get allergies?
No, I don't. I'm not an allergy sufferer, which is good.
Man, you're so lucky. It is wild. Like, you can't sleep. Like, I would have never... I remember growing up, because I didn't have them before I moved here. It's the tree pollen, I guess, to apparently the allergy capital of the world, by the way.
Yeah, hey, you know, we can hang our hats on something in Wichita. We have the right. Worst allergies in the country.
I believe it. I didn't have them growing up. But again, it's the tree pollen thing. So... I sit here and I remember, like, people would complain about their allergies. I'm like, okay, whatever. Now, like, you can't sleep because your eyes are watering and, like, you got, like, it's wild. It is a wild experience. I'm with you, fellow allergy sufferers. I feel for you. Cause I'm getting hammered. Sorry for everybody for having to look at my eyeballs right now and hear my nasally voice, but we'll get through it. Maybe this windstorm will blow them all away. If the last one blew them all in, maybe this one will blow them all away.
Hey, they always say that in the month of March, it comes in like a lion and out like a lamb. We're kind of right in the middle of that at this point, the transitional time.
Today is the lion. Tomorrow is the lamb. We will have some nice weather in for the tournament. Man, I have been so worried about that. So worried about that. After going to Omaha last year, kind of the same situation, right? Went to Omaha, was going there because you thought KU was going to go. It was kind of a guy's trip. It was going to be fun. And then they don't go. And then the weather's bad. And it was a very different experience than the other times I've been to Omaha. Got to be honest.
I got to tell you, now that we're a day away from the NCAA tournament in Wichita, I'm ready for it to be done because I feel like your anxiety has been through the roof about this tournament.
That it won't be a great party.
First off, with KU not being there, and then with the weather, like, you're just, like, you sound like my wife. Like, you are stressing out about everything.
And I'm not an anxious person. There's not real stress involved. I can tell you that. I don't stress about much. But I will tell you that my stress comes from all the people I know that invest so much time, energy, and resources into it. That what I fear for them now as a business owner is that it doesn't deliver the way it did in 2018. It will. It'll be fine. The weather looks great. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited for it. I'm glad that we got the teams that we got. I still do wish KU would be here, but they're not. And we'll talk about KU and where they are, which is Providence with Shreya Slada, as we get into the next hour. I want to just sort of continue, and we can put a bow on the Shocker talk here. I think this is right where we finished it, so we'll just sort of pick up. The other part of evaluating things now that makes it really hard for me is because coaches are being asked to do this thing that we as, like, the viewers and the consumers don't really know how to evaluate it yet. And I think, like, there are a handful of coaches that are really good at it right now, like, that have done it. You brought up Kelvin Sampson. Awesome. You know, Duke's done a really nice job with it. I'm trying to think of, you know, Auburn. Auburn's been pretty consistently good. Alabama's been really good at it. But it hasn't been consistent. And even Bill Self. Now, Bill Self is, I think, you can put an asterisk because he has retained his players. They've just been players that have, you know, by their standard, produced back-to-back disappointing years. But I don't know how to look at this yet. How many years are we into this true madness? And again, I think it will settle down within the next, we'll call it 4 years. But we've only been doing this now. This is probably like the fourth or fifth true Wild West nature of this. The Shockers have dealt with it for longer. The Shockers have had a transfer out issue going back to Greg Marshall. That year he brought in a great talented freshman class and they all left, right? Like, so it's not new to Wichita State, but we're still trying to learn how to evaluate how coaches are doing within it, because, like, next year, what's the expectation? On March 19th, I feel like we have to have, like, zero expectation right now.
Yeah, I think that, again, it comes back down to the retention piece of it. I think you can start to build some expectations if you can get retaining a couple of players here and there, because then at least you know what you're working with. But when it's a full roster full of players, you know, potentially that are coming from other places, I mean, take a look at K-State. Like, all we knew last year going into it was what these players had done on paper that Jerome Tang had brought in. And all we knew was what, like in the case of Coleman Hawkins, he was getting paid to play at Kansas State and what he had done in his career at Illinois. We didn't know how it would translate to Jerome Tang's style of coaching. We didn't know how it would translate to just the overall atmosphere in Manhattan, all the different external things that come into play with it. And you had to sort of like throw a dart at expectations just because there was really no retention outside of David Gasson on that team. With Wichita State, I think going into this offseason, it's going to be kind of the same way. And, you know, depending on what the retention looks like from Paul Mills, it's going to be really hard in the offseason to fully evaluate and fully be able to set expectations on a team. A lot of it is, if it's a lot of brand new guys and they're all working together, how much time do you give them to gel? How much time do you give them to really like be able to settle in? And then I think the evaluation actually comes as the season progresses, as opposed to being able to look at a team from a year ago and say, all right, they're going to be returning most of these guys. They don't have to rebuild their entire team. We can set expectations accordingly during the offseason. That makes it really difficult to be able to assess.
Impossible to assess. What would you say right now? What would your expectation for next year be?
Well, look, I think that you have to look at it only through the lens of where, as a fan base and as a community, we feel like the Shocker should be. We did this exact same exercise at this time last year. It was, okay, going into year two of the Paul Mills era.
Right, without, but at that point, without we had even a better knowing, indication they'd be able to return a bunch of players, though.
But but there still wasn't, like, we didn't know fully what that roster was going to look like, right? And so you're kind of throwing a dart and you're kind of setting expectations based on where we feel like the program should be at that time of, you know, a coach going into year number two. I think you almost have to do, unfortunately, the exact same thing going into year number three. Like, where do we feel like they should be? Not like some kind of concrete, like you can point at, well, they've got this guy, we know how they're going to produce, we know how these guys are going to perform, and this is where they need to be going into this year. I think it's just more of kind of like, well, it's year three. Like, they should be top four in the conference, or they should be battling for an NCAA tournament bid. Like, I think it's, again, kind of just like a shot in the dark.
It's, man, it's really difficult. I can tell you this. They should be better than they have been in the first 2 years, regardless. Eighth place in the AAC is not good enough. Period. It's not good enough. Like, it just isn't. That part I can get my head around. They have to win more games. What can they do with the roster? That's where it's almost like two different evaluations. I think we got a better evaluation of Mills, the coach, this year with the adjustments they made and the way they were able to sort of redefine themselves. And I think that was a major positive for the first 2 years of his tenure. A major positive. The other half now is, can you get the players? It looks different than it used to. That can be a bad thing. Can also be a good thing. It's never been easier to turn over a roster quickly. They were going to turn over this roster despite the transfer portal. They're just graduating a bunch of seniors, right? So the roster was going to turn over either way, whether we were in the transfer portal or not. So on one hand, you can look at that and say, what did they lose? 9 seniors? Whatever it is. Like, whenever you lose that many players in the past, it was almost impossible to, you know, get that turned around. Now it's an expectation because there's so many players in the portal. So never been a better opportunity. We saw the retention piece. That was nice to see. I hope they can retain their two best, you know, two key players that are eligible. But the bigger part will be, because here's the reality, Tommy, like, if they can't this offseason go get a bunch of players that make them good, who's to say that's going to happen any offseason?
I do think that there's a caveat to all of that, too, and that is, how confident is everybody in where their NIL status is?
Sure.
Amongst teams that are going to be battling for the same caliber of players. And I think that's an extremely important question, and one that, to be completely honest with you, I'm not sure I have very good clarity on. I think it's improved. At least I'd like to think it's improved over the last few years. All indications are that it has from a budget perspective, but I don't know. And maybe that's been released in public.
I would guess that it's better.
I would guess it's better too, but it's not like we know that for sure. They're not going to be able to go and drop a $2 million bag on a guy like Coleman Hawkins, like K-State did. That's not their MO and that's not realistic. But at the same time, like, you have to add in that caveat to it as well, because it's not just about, all right, he's got to go get the players. Let's go see if they want to come to Wichita State. It's almost more about, like, how do they manage that budget that they have? And how do they allocate those dollars appropriately to make the biggest and best impact on this program next season? That adds a whole new layer into it. I guess it's not really not new anymore, but that adds a whole different layer to it where it's not just a simple conversation of, all right, they need a backcourt that can produce and make shots and blah, blah, blah. It's like, how much can they pay the guys? And how big of a difference maker can these guys be? And it really makes it, again, challenging in that regard. And the fact that it's, you know, we can sit here and we can say with like the Chiefs, when we have this conversation about the salary cap with the Chiefs and how they can work inside the cap and, you know, the money they have available and the clear needs they have and what the market is doing and how much guys at certain positions are getting paid and what they produce. That is nearly impossible to have that same kind of conversation about a program like Wichita State, and not just Wichita State, but schools that same size, to have that financial conversation and what that can do as far as resources and then ultimately production.
I can tell you with moderate certainty that their NIL situation is better now than it was 2 or 3 years ago. Isaac Brown couldn't retain a player. Because they couldn't get them anything in NIL.
Well, and there was whatever reason you want to point to. If you remember, you know, back before the Kevin Saul era at Wichita State, there was a time where there was clear opposition to NIL with Wichita State. Like, it wasn't even like, hey, we've got to operate within the confines of this system. It was like, nope, we're going to fight this. We don't want to do it. Yeah. We're not going to do it. And
that's what I'm saying.
That has changed. So, yeah, I mean, I think we can both say that they're in a better situation, but we don't know what that means.
Well, it means that they should be in a better position in these times right now to do the things that they needed to do. The fact that they were able to retain as much as they did last year also tells me they're making a lot of progress.
But again,
they're in pretty good
shape. What does that mean? Like, because I think it's all relative, right? Like, they're better and they should be able to go and get the players they need relative to who? Relative to the other teams in their conference? I think that becomes
absolutely.
The right. So
yes.
Like,
outside of Memphis,
if you're stacking it up against other American teams, because that really, I mean, I think is probably the litmus test. That's probably where
that's the place to start. We all want it to be against teams across the country, but that we're not there yet. So yes, I think you have to do it against the American, and yes, they are or should be able to be in a better position than everybody outside of Memphis. 100%. Yes, they should be able to. Now they got to go do it. And so I think you can, it's almost like you have two prongs to this. The wins and the losses have not been good enough. The positioning of the program after the return that they made to prominence this year, relatively speaking, I think puts the overall health of the program in a decent... I feel okay about
it. It's better.
So the wins and losses part have not been good enough yet. And they're about to have to turn over a roster. That's what has me a little bit concerned. Not saying it's out of the question. Go get the work done now in the offseason. But that's the challenge now. All right, when we come back, we'll switch gears a little bit. If you want to chime in on the Shockers, you still can. In the meantime, Al Brockton-Castor coming your way for another hour next.